flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Tough day at the barn earlier today. The Golden Gopher men, they were on a tear. They had won 3 games, beating Michigan, Iowa, and Oregon. And then they had a huge road test at Michigan State. Tom Izzo, coach of Spartans, to a big win over the Golden Gophers. They come back, take on a team that had 1 win in the Big Ten today in the Washington Huskies. And the Huskies prevailed. Andy Greeter covering for the Pioneer Press, and Andy joins us online. Andy, it's been a while. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, Steve?
Yeah, good to visit with you. I've heard you on the huddle with Pete Najarian and Dave Schwartz. Good work on Sunday mornings. That's always fun.
Yeah, I like those guys. I like talking with Pete. Obviously, he's got the perspective as a former Gopher player, so those guys like chopping it up and breaking down games the next day. It was fun to do that a few times in the fall.
Yeah, no doubt. Pete, just a legend in the financial world. We get him on the huddle for a couple hours on Sunday. It's really cool. And, of course, his dad, Dr. John Najarian, is certainly a legend in his own right. And what he did in his phenomenal career, very impressive. Hey, Andy, let's start with that game at the barn. They had that 3-game winning streak that I talked about. Then really a tough task in East Lansing against Michigan State. But to come home today, this was the game they needed.
Yeah, I think it was a dud. I don't think there's any real other way to put it, right? I think when you are playing at home on Saturdays in the last couple of weeks, they've got 2 ranked wins. So to follow that up with losing to the last place team in the conference, hurts the momentum that they had built and shows that they are one of the worst teams in the Big Ten. When you go against a Washington team, like you said, that is 1 conference win. And I think there's a little bit of a caveat to it as well, is that, you know, the Gophers and Washington have been playing more difficult schedules in the first half of the Big Ten. I think Ken Pom had Washington as the hardest strength of schedule, and I think the Gophers were either 2 or 3 right behind them. So they play tough teams, like you mentioned, right? Obviously going on the road, Michigan State on Tuesday as well, and really getting their clock cleaned in that one. I think it really hurts any sort of opportunity that you think about a major turnaround for this season.
Yeah, and I know that you look at the numbers, and I heard a post-game comment today from Ben Johnson. I mean, they got beat on the boards, and that's really difficult when you get beat on the boards the way they did today.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think we've got enough of a sample size to see that their additions in the transfer portal weren't good enough, right? And Parker Fox is dealing with a back injury. He was limited to 7 minutes today. I think Frank Mitchell is typically a pretty good rebounder, but I don't think he provides enough in other departments. Trey Edmonds, he played a little bit early, but then they didn't go back to him again late. And I think you kind of saw the separation that a team like Washington has with the length that they have, right? Great Odukwu is making $2 million in NIL money this year.
Oof.
That's more than what the Gophers are making as an entire team. And I think you saw the difference in length and size, and it started to wear down the Gophers as the game went on.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of talk, big picture, about where this program stands. And there's a lot of moving parts, Andy. You cover this. You cover the football team. You're very in tune with the challenges of where college sports are today. And the Gophers have work to do. There's no doubt.
I think this is a great example, a great segue, right? I think when you lose a guy like Ferrell Payne in the transfer portal and you're not able to replace him with the guys at the same level that he was, I think you see that over the course of a Big Ten season that separates them from the rest of their competitors, right? I think you have Dawson Garcia, who was an absolute beast in the second half. I think he had 23 points, 10 rebounds, really took over the game. And he's legit All-Big Ten Player of the Year caliber player. But he just doesn't have enough around him, right? The Gophers do not have enough shot makers. They definitely don't have enough shot creators. There's not a lot of guys on this roster outside of Mike Mitchell and a little bit of Isaac Osama and guys that can create their own shot that aren't named Dawson Garcia. And I think when Dawson has foul trouble early on in the first half and he's only able to play 10 minutes and he sits, and that's when Washington separates and has a 10-point halftime lead, and then the Gophers are consistently trying to claw that back when they don't have enough talent on the court in certain aspects. And when it comes to NIL money and spending that they have on the roster, you see that separation, and I think it was indicative today.
Yeah, and you almost shudder to think about, had Dawson Garcia gone elsewhere, he had those opportunities, he stayed at home, where this team would be.
Yeah, no doubt. I think, and that's what I wrote about early on this year, is kind of the kind of sacrifice that he's made, because he had offers of over $1 million at a number of blue blood programs. So he could have left, but I think he wanted to stay and create a legacy here at Minnesota. And I think you see it in what he provides on the court and off the court. I wrote a story that published today about his efforts that the Gopher football, the Gopher basketball program has with Team Impact, which is kind of a make-a-wish type of program. And the Gophers got paired with a kid in Rochester, a cancer fighter, and Dawson Garcia went above and beyond to create a relationship with the kid. He lived in Rochester. He drove down there in September after he had a relapse with his cancer fight, Josh Hansen, and spent time with him and created a real connection. So last week, when they knocked Oregon, and Dawson has an amazing game, and it could have been all about him and the upset that the Gophers had against Oregon, which is a huge highlight in this season. He wanted to bring up Josh Hansen and the impact that he made on him and the program. And it was really touching to kind of be able to tell the story of how he fought cancer and really connected with the Gophers. And, you saw that before the game today with the moment of silence that they had for Josh. You saw Ben Johnson kind of tear up. It was kind of a really important aspect of who Dawson is to stick around and what the program is doing. While the success hasn't been on the court, they've done something really special to kind of create awareness for cancer fights for other people and shown what it's like to have to deal with the real world aspects. We get to talk about sports and act like they're serious, but the Gophers did a real supportive thing in the community with Josh Hansen and Team Impact over the last couple of years.
Yeah, and Andy, just a great story, and I encourage people to go to TwinCities.com and see Andy's piece about Josh. And it's one of those that brings a tear to your eye, because think about what this young man and his family went through and what the Gophers did to make him feel part of the team. It's just
so over the course,
really great.
Over the course of the last a couple years, like you said, they made him a part of the team, gave him a lot of insider aspects and insider opportunities. He would go to practices, he would go to shoot-arounds, he'd play ping-pong with the guys. A couple of players on the team last year, including one Eric Reeder, who's still on the team from the metro area, kind of brought him up from Rochester and went fishing with him. More things that kind of above and beyond to kind of create a connection with him. And unfortunately, I think the saddest part of the story is that Josh had fought through cancer over the last couple of years, wants to be a civil or environmental engineer, and you know, applied and got accepted to the University of Minnesota and broke the news to the team that he was coming and joining them at the U. And then he had a relapse and wasn't able to enroll in the fall. And then, you know, tragically passed away in January. So you see kind of a story arc here that, you know, I'm kind of breaking up just listening to myself tell this. Because I've done a lot of these types of stories, and this one, I don't know, for some reason, just kind of the tragicness and how suddenly it turned and seeing the connection that they had with the Gophers, like you said, is pretty emotional.
That is a powerful piece, and I invite and encourage people to take the time to read it once again at TwinCities.com or pick up a copy of the paper. Andy, the season marches on, and yeah, beyond that, it becomes future of the program time. There's been talk of that, but you know there has to be that discussion in reality about, you know, this program and the direction it's headed.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's Ben Johnson's fourth year at his alma mater, and they almost got over the hump last year. You could see a real trajectory upward with them. Almost, you know, I think they were 9-11 in Big Ten play and missed out on the NCAA tournament, but went to the NIT and won a game. And you could see some of the pieces, if they were to come back, of them taking, you know, a further step and making March Madness and showing an upward trajectory. Unfortunately, that hasn't worked out with the number of transfer portal exits and Cam Christie off to the NBA, like we talked about with what they've been able to replace them with. So then you wonder about what's the future like, right? Do they consider a coaching change? I think that's very much on the table. Ben Johnson has a $3 million buyout. If they fire him with 2 years left on his contract, if that comes in about March or April, that's what they have to pay him. I wonder if it's an opportunity for Mark Coyle to look in another direction and say, with revenue sharing coming on board, maybe there's something else that they want to see in leadership. I wonder if that's an opportunity for them. I know that money is tight with the Gophers. They do not have the type of financial resources that other schools have. That includes NIL money, but that includes foundational giving as well and boosters for the program to be able to cover buyouts and things like that. We see that in the salary pay of the assistants for the Gophers football program and what that does to that staff. So it's not an easy decision. $3 million, other people have scoffed at when it comes to the buyouts. In Minnesota, it's a little bit more seriously financial lift for them. So does that come into play? Do you give Ben a mulligan of sorts and be like, well, you didn't have the opportunities in the transfer portal with the NIL money? That's not really your fault. You know, do you give them another year based on that? I think those are all very open questions, and that especially happens after you lose at home to a team in Washington that you should win if you're trying to make a push to the middle of the Big Ten.
Yeah. Andy, we're tight on time. Always good to visit with you. I know you've got a lot of Loons coverage as they get ready for another season as well.
Yeah, they just added a young South Korean today. Announced his signing. He's a young central midfielder, and it'll be interesting to see how he is added to the mix, because they've got holes there. Asani Dawson has requested a trade of all things in MLS, a trade request. So they might be losing a veteran midfielder, and they've got a young player coming in to reinforce that position going forward.
All right. Boy, it just seems like they're wrapped up, and here we go again.
I know. It's one of the shortest off seasons, and that's what happens when you make the Western Conference semifinals and you go on a playoff run and international breaks and all the wonky stuff that goes into a soccer season. But yeah, it just feels like it just ended yesterday too.
All right, Andy, always good to visit with you. Thanks.
Yep. Thanks, Steve. Take care.
There he is, Andy Grittier of the Pioneer Press, online at TwinCities.com, joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Quick break. We'll come back. They're playing golf in the rain and wind at Pebble Beach. We'll check the leaderboard, a familiar name right at the top. We'll do that in a moment here on News Talk.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk 830 WCCO.